This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend God's richest blessings to you from the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We are celebrating 70 years of the Lord's work through this ministry. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Does the brevity of life affect your lifestyle? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. The music for this program is presented by the St. Olaf College Choir. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you that you have given us years on this earth. We're grateful for all of the blessings that have come to us through our experiences here, that of living with loved ones and enjoying their love and seeking to give some of ours to them, reaching out and helping where we can be of assistance to other people, to the work of your kingdom. But above all, we thank you that while we are here on this earth, we have experienced what it is to know the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we seek to share it this day. Will you be with us, strengthen us, and use even this radio program for the furtherance of your kingdom? We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God, as it is recorded in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised, they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And then in the 13th chapter of this same book of Hebrews, verse 14, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, would you live differently today if you knew this would be your last day on earth? Does the brevity of life affect your lifestyle? What does the Scriptures really mean when it talks about humans and describes them as saying they are only aliens and strangers on this earth? Well, certainly it means that our time on this earth is brief. We have here no permanent address on the planet. We may live in a house for a long time. I've just moved out of one after living there for 30 years. And it was a blessed place to be. But it was never a permanent address. Never, not once. We realize that. The center of our thoughts need sometimes to be on the brevity of life. Contrary to what some people say, it need not be a negative nor a depressing topic. Rather, it can be very positive and exciting, especially if you are a Christian. The brevity of life, however, is easily comprehended intellectually, but it is almost impossible to believe that this brevity includes you and me. And yet we realize that it does. I am surprised to see how we are able to comprehend from an intellectual point of view that we're not going to be here very long. Here just a few days ago, I was visiting with a young lady who seems to be very well adjusted, a happy person, and had had a tremendous summer. And so I said to her, "Tell me about it." And she said, "You know, it just went too fast. These summers go by, and when I go back to school, I'm going to be a junior. And then I only have a couple of more, and then I'll be out of high school, probably away from home. I don't like that. It's going too fast." I thought, well, there's a person who has her head on straight. She knows that it is true intellectually, and she is wrestling with it emotionally. The other evening when my wife and I were walking to dinner in the dining room where we live, here came an elderly couple, happy, smiling, and I said, "You look happy." "Why not?" he said. "We've had 61 years of married life, and it seems like only yesterday when we went down the aisle for the first time as husband and wife. She has been a good wife." And I said, "How wonderful to hear you say that." But he said, "It's brief, and we have to admit that it's drawing to an end." Now, that wasn't negative. To him, it was realistic, for the gentleman is a Christian man, and he has enjoyed these days here. But he is wrestling with this emotional thing. Soon we are going to separate because we are nigh to 90. And we've had 61 years of married life. That just doesn't go on forever. Well, the fathers who are written up on the pages of Scripture realize that too. And one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Hebrews 11. It's what we call the spiritual hall of fame. Let me just pull one of them up for our consideration today. We'll take the one who is probably the best known of them all. His name is Abraham. Now, Abraham realized full well that here he had no lasting city. It says that he was looking for a country of their own. They were longing for a better country, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, a heavenly one. What had happened? Didn't he like it here? Yeah, I'm sure he did like it very much, and he had a great challenge before him. For God had said to him that he was going to become the father of a great nation. He took him outside one night. He pointed him to the heavens, and he said, "Look at all of these stars, Abraham. As numerous as they are, so numerous will your followers, your people be, and I'm going to give you a country. And there you shall live as my children. And from that country and that people, there will come a Savior." Well, the days went by, and pretty soon Abraham thought, well, where are the kids? If I'm going to be the father of a great nation, I better get started. And finally, after a great deal of testing, God gave Abraham and Sarah Isaac. Then when the little boy got to be a little bit larger so that the father could really enjoy him, God said to him one day, "Take Isaac up onto the top of the mountain and sacrifice him." There were all kinds of frustrations that Abraham was going through. There were questions that were being asked. If I'm going to be the father of this great nation, why would I kill my son? But God had spoken. So to the top of the mountain they went. And just before the final act of killing the boy, God says to him, "Abraham, stop. Stop. Now I understand your faith." So the time here was very rewarding for Abraham, but it was also very frustrating for Abraham. And the same could be true of them all. They were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And here they said, "We have no lasting city." That is a dynamic truth, friend, that will affect our todays and our tomorrows. When your assurance is sure, then this is a great truth that you want to store away in the computer of your heart and recall it again and again and again. Now, if your salvation is only based on something that you hope or some sentimental thought that you got somewhere or some nice card that had a verse on it telling you about the life afterwards and no reference to Jesus Christ, don't take it too seriously. But if your eternal life is based on the promises of Jesus Christ, then you can be sure that all is well with you here, and when you die, you're going to be with the Lord. Just stop and think of what Jesus said. Jesus said it. No theologian, Jesus said it. No philosopher, Jesus said it. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, would I have told you? I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and we're going to live together there. And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know what it's going to be like?" And Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. Thomas, no one comes to the Father but by me. Trust me, I'm going to bring you to that home that is a permanent address." Now, that's a dynamic truth. You live with it. Millions of people are living with it. Their comfort and their peace is that of St. Paul's, who, when he wrote to the Philippian church, cried out, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There are times that I would rather depart and be with the Lord, but I know it's more beneficial for me to be with you, and therefore I'm going to hang in here. But remember this, when the last breath is breathed, then I will be at my permanent address before the throne of grace with Jesus Christ, my Savior. So again, we come back to this. Would you live your life differently today if you knew you were going to die tomorrow? I think I probably would. Basically, no. Christ is the one who's going to come to get me tomorrow then, if that's the day that I die. And I will be with him in heaven. That's what the Christian says. But there will be some minor changes. Let's not be too pietistic about this. Wouldn't you want to have all of your kids around you if you could get them there? I certainly would. I'd sell everything I had to get them all around that bed. I'd want to talk with them. My last day. I've spent a lot of years with them. Of course, the last day would be different if we knew it. Paul wanted that. Didn't have any children. But when he was going to die at Nero's wishes, he gathered as many as he could get. He said, "Come, bring Mark. I'm especially fond of him. We're going to have some good hours together before I go on my way to heaven." Sure, that's natural. We want to live as long as we can, but we're glad to know that there's something better on the other side. We don't want to snuff our life out before it has to go. I assume that many of you have signed your will, living will. Probably have told your loved ones not to keep you on a resuscitator. When it gets to that point, then you're ready to go. Time to go. But sometimes we get quite unrealistic. I recall one day coming back from a committal service, and I was sitting in the front with a mortician, and there was a mother and her little, probably 10-year-old boy in the back seat. And she said, "Oh, isn't it wonderful Grandpa went on to heaven. I wish we could go with him. Don't you wish you could go with him? And she had that little boy trained to say, yeah, I wish I could. I looked back at him and I said, no, you don't. You don't. You're not even 10 years old yet. You got a lot of living to do. You're going to do some great things. God is going to give you some wonderful experiences. He's going to use you to be one of his servants. You don't want to die. And the mother took up the argument with me, and finally I heard later that she had reported to some of her friends that we have a funny pastor. He'd rather live right here on this earth than in heaven. I didn't say that. I said to her 10-year-old boy, someday you're going to go to heaven, and that's going to be better. But boy, between now and you're going to heaven, you can do some great things for other people, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and even for yourself. Of course, there are some differences, great differences, when I know for sure that when I die, I am going to be with the Lord. We'll have a different sense of values. What is important? What isn't important? If I'm an alien here, if I'm a sojourner here, and I can't take any of it with me, then I jolly well know that my value should center primarily in what is permanent. The way I treat people, that's very important. I have to remind myself of that. What if this were the last day? Would you say the things that you said? Would you do the things that you did? No. Would you put out that witnessing as far as that person is concerned who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think so. Oh, I tell you, friend, if you listen to the spirituals, there are some tremendous truths that are penned there. These people were hurting. All had been taken away from them, but they could sit on their porch and they could sing, this world is not mine home. I'm only passing through. If heaven's not my home, O Lord, what will I do? And then another one that I remember my father singing occasionally, when he saw all the changes in his society, and they were nothing compared to what we have today, Dad would sing with a smile on his face, I don't feel at home in this world anymore. I suggest, friend, that in this series of sermons that we're preaching on great biblical truths, that you make this a part of your recall on your spiritual computer. For here I have no lasting city, but I look for a city that is to come. I'll enjoy my town, I'll enjoy my family, I'll enjoy my friends, I'll do what I can, but I'll realize that here I have no lasting city. But that's not annihilation. That's going home to live at the permanent address in the mansion that the Lord Jesus has prepared for me and for all other believers in him. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have promised us an abundant life, not one free from difficulty, but one filled with blessings. But more than that, we thank you that you have promised us an eternal life with you in heaven. Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that the message and music in today's service have brightened your day and brought you comfort and peace. For the past 70 years, the Holy Spirit has worked through this ministry to reach countless people around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are celebrating his work with a special anniversary event on September 10th between 2 and 4:30 p.m. Central Time at Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa. The event will include a program at 2:30 with a message by Reverend Larson and special music by the Proud Image Barbershop Chorus. Please join us if you are able to attend. There is no cost to attend. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.